Mark Tegubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Yes, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to satisfy the hunger and the emptiness of the human spirit. He alone, beloved, can fill that God-shaped vacuum that's within the life of every individual. And how wonderful it is to believe in, to accept, and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, to recognize and understand that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that there's only one way of salvation, and that is through a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. As we've been reading in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way. That little word, the, indicates he's the only way. And he said, no man comes to the Father except by me. Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. He's the only way to God the Father, which is in heaven. And all of us are guilty of having sinned and broken God's law. But through faith in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, through putting our faith and trust in him, one can receive that gift of eternal life. And one will, as an individual cries out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe, Lord Jesus, you died for my sin, that you were buried, that you rose from the grave, that you live today. I invite you to come into my life, to cleanse me from my sin, to liberate me from the bondage of sin, to make a new person out of me. In Jesus' name I pray. He'll hear a prayer like that. It doesn't have to be those same words, but you, beloved, can receive this marvelous gift of salvation, forgiveness of sin, eternal life that we've been discussing, all through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died, was buried, and arose from the grave, who lives today, seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for we who have accepted Christ as our Savior. Oh yes, remember, we're discussing about the triune God. He who is triune, that is, he reveals himself as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Remember, we've discussed his name in Matthew 28:19-20. Where the Lord Jesus gave the commission to the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing those who believe in the Lord Jesus and accept him as Savior, baptizing them in the name, singular, of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so this is what we're discussing and considering here in the Gospel of John, chapters 14 through 17. And in our last broadcast, we were in verse 17 of John 14. And Jesus was speaking in verse 16. He said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. He was dwelling with them in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and on the day of Pentecost the Holy Spirit was given in power and great glory, and he came to indwell the heart of every child of God. And so today, when a person believes in the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit moves into that individual spirit, does the work of salvation. That's what John 3:6 tells us. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, physical birth. But that which is born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the spiritual part of man. And that's where our salvation takes place. That's where we get our true identification. We're either a child of God or a child of Satan. We're either yielded and surrendered and have received the Holy Spirit into our spirit, have been given the gift of eternal life, are born again, are on our way to glory, or else we're lost under the control and dominion of sin and Satan and his evil spirits, and cannot save ourselves. The best that man can do is as filthy rags in the eyes of God, we're told in the book of Isaiah. So, beloved, how good it is to believe in the Lord Jesus, to accept him as Savior, and the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, moves into our spirit, giving us assurance of our salvation, as we're told in Romans chapter 8. And so in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. How does the Lord Jesus come to us? Through the person of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 and verse 9 tells us that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. And he is. And so when he enters into an individual's life, the Lord Jesus comes into our life through the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, because Jesus was going to go to the Father. And Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And, beloved, that's a glorious and wonderful truth, that when we believe in the Lord Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of God the Father and the Spirit of God the Son, Romans 8, 9. And so we are indwelt by the triune Godhead. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He reveals himself to us. He opens up the Word of God. He instructs us in the truth. And he makes known to us the glory of belonging to the eternal God. And so Judas, verse 22, saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. How will he abide with us? How will the Father abide with us? Through the Holy Spirit of God. He comes to live within us. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. And thus the Lord Jesus was preparing the disciples for him to leave and to die and to be buried and to arise from the grave. And he was giving them these words of instruction to comfort and to help them through this dark, terrible time they would face. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That's the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit. And how many times I've seen the Holy Spirit take charge of my mind and my body and speak the truth through me, just as he's opening up his word to us now. It's not Bob Griggs. It's the Holy Spirit of God who illuminates our thinking, who brings to mind the truths of God's word, who instructs and teaches us. And, beloved, every one of you that know Jesus as your Savior have the same Holy Spirit indwelling you and possessing you. And you say, well, how can this be? It's a part of the mystery of knowing Almighty God. With God, all things are possible. You have a little illustration in a television or in a radio. You may have a radio and be tuned to a certain station. Somebody on the other side of town or in some other areas listening to the same station. Both of you are enjoying the same information at the same time. So the Holy Spirit of God is able to indwell each child of God at the same time. And he's able to communicate with us. He's able to unlock the truths of God's Word. He's able to lead us into all truth. It's a marvelous mystery of Almighty God and his great power. And so the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. O beloved, how much God loves you and me, how much he cares for us. He knows all about us. He knows our struggles. He knows our difficulties. He knows our problems. And he's able to work in and through them all. That's why Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Verse 29, that we might be conformed to his image. Till next time, goodbye.